I suppose I've had the experience of working with young people who are in substance misuse over the last 10 years. And it's the one thing that has stood out for me. It's part of our mission statement, believing in the priceless potential of young people. But I've seen that played out over and over and over again, that they're amazing young people, really, really gifted, very sensitive, just a real sense, even a real sense of justice when you sit down and talk to them. But their lives while using drink and drugs is absolutely the opposite to that. It's the flip side of that. And I think sometimes it's about believing in their potential and helping them to believe in it and creating that awareness for them that they are more than drink or drugs. They're more than the actual lifestyle they're living at this time, and that they can be more than. And as was one of the biggest things that has struck me over the 9 years is the sensitivity of the young people. There were two occasions, I think, in my life in Ashland over the last 9 years. One was when my mum died, and the sensitivity that I experienced, the support I experienced from those young people at that time, and also when it came to finishing there a couple of weeks ago, how protective the young people in the treatment centre were of me in that last week. It was like they flipped roles and began to take care of me. And as was part of that was that sense of appreciation of what Ashland is and how they're treated, but also really sensitive to what that loss would be for me. And I'm just talking about 16, 17-year-olds. And I think given the chance and being called into that space, they are so capable and so able to take on any role.
Mm. Yet, I suppose, the media headlines for them is that they are thugs, thieves and losers.
Yes, it is, sadly. And I would say that, for me, that's a very sad reality. That's how, on one hand, we hear our government talking about our children being the future of Ireland, but at another level, labelling them like that. And I think that's due to the consequences of their behaviour, which probably stealing, maybe violence. Again, I think, though, we have to look at the deeper issue here. What is it in our society that's creating that? What is the bigger piece? What are we doing in society at the moment that's helping or enabling young people to go down that road? I think there's a huge need to offer a different way, but I think that has to start with the adults. And as an adult in society, we need to start offering another way, but we need to start showing it. It's about mirroring that other way, rather than getting caught up in the materialistic world, the need to have the better, the more, the bigger. We need to start mirroring something new, and I suppose that's a challenge, I think, that's there to our government at this time. When are they going to start to mirror something new to our young people that they believe so much in?
And I suppose also it is constantly a challenge for parents who will do their best for the children and say to them, what more can we do?
Parents are wonderful, and that's where I would start, Arlene, with that. I just feel parents are absolutely wonderful. They do their best, but sometimes they're frightened. They're very frightened of what they're seeing in society. They're frightened of what's happening to other children around them. And I think sometimes we become paralysed by that. And I suppose I would say this is even a need more today than ever for parent support, for places where parents can get support, where they can talk together, where they can be reassured that they're not failures, it's not their fault, and where they can learn skills to cope, where they can learn parenting skills about being parents today, because young people need parents, and they need their parents to be parents for them.
One of the areas you also talked about is the need and the value for parents to communicate with their children and to bring back perhaps the notion of having a family meal.
Yes, I think that's huge. I think within the family home, there's such a need to bring that family meal back. Just that level of communication where they're sitting together, they're connecting, they're communicating. I know in the treatment centre, it's probably one of the harder things for the young people when they come in is to actually sit at the dining room table and have a meal with us and with the staff and with their peers and enter into conversation. It's also extremely difficult for them on Sundays, particularly when their parents come in the first week or two, to actually sit and have tea or coffee with them and have that conversation because they're not used to it. And yet, when you see them coming into week 4 and 5 and 6 of treatment, they love it. They love to sit at the dining room table. They love to have that conversation and to chat. And They need it. I think they really, really need it. And I think it's something that really needs to come back into the family home. That piece of just the simplicity of meeting, having a meal together, maybe going out together, work, being part of family.
And the other area that you talked about is the need for a spiritual input into their recovery.
I think this is huge. Over the 9 years working in Ashland, I've seen that they crave spirituality, but it's a sense of nurturing their spirit. It's not about so much about specific religion, but as much as spirit, their spirit being nurtured. That sense of having space, having time, entering into maybe what I would call that sacred space within themselves, where they can then begin to become aware and begin to believe and trust and know that they're loved. And also having a sense of a power greater than themselves, a sense of being connected to a power greater than themselves and knowing that they're loved and not judged in that sense.